Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Scott Haney, Channel 3. It's AJ and Andre.
Right.
And Andre, yeah. The only one who actually sounds like a real singer.
Right. That's what he does.
That's the catch with the song.
Is that
it's, you know, you hear these really bad voices, but then there's like, well, there's some talent in there.
There's parts of everything.
Right.
Yeah, there's everything you want.
Yeah.
There's bad, there's good, there's ugly.
Insanely high notes by Andre.
It's like making a chili and like it doesn't make sense, but at the end you're like, it's actually pretty good. Right. I actually enjoyed
that. That piece of chocolate actually tastes good in there.
Like, I prefer that song over the original now, because not only is it the song, but it makes me laugh.
It's homegrown, yes.
Homegrown.
Right. It's like having a taco and the shell doesn't break.
Yeah. Right. It's rare. Right.
So together.
Do you have any of Scott's vocal track?
I have the whole vocal track. Yeah.
Oh, let's listen to a little bit of that.
Night and day, there's a burning town inside of me. Yeah, burning.
I like the commitment right there.
Yeah. He's doing vibrato and everything. He's trying.
Yeah. This is where it gets good, right?
Holding you, holding you, loving you.
Long note.
Loving you.
That was excellent.
I did a little studio magic in that.
Yes, you did. I heard it.
Oh, God.
You know, it sounds like
that is a long note. That is a long note. You know, it's no doubt.
You know those rubber chickens when you squeeze and they're like, Iggy! That's what it sounds like.
It only goes on the out, not on the out.
Yeah, like when it's gasping.
We loving you.
It's almost the same note. It's the same tone.
Almost in tune.
Oh. Nice.
All right, can we hear some of AJ's?
Oh, God, why?
Vocal track?
No, please don't.
So, before we just real quick, you get the three different tracks, you can tell who the singer is and who isn't.
Right.
AJ's came with a lot of, like, pre-singing noises.
Oh, really?
Are the mouth noises?
Oh, how wonderful you saved this part for me.
Yeah, just listening to your breathe for 45 seconds.
Anybody else, yes. Coming home, can't make it all alone.
And then we got breathing for 20 seconds.
Well, how else do you not breathe? I mean, breathe, huh?
Reveal is calling, you can't go on, it's tragedy. When the morning cries and you don't know why, it's hard to bear. With no one to love you, you're going nowhere.
I feel like I have a head cold.
It sounds like you're being strangled.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Choking on a Zagnut.
It's freaking brilliant.
Down I go, just can't take it all alone.
So much fun.
I like at the end of this course because you can hear like a car or a motorcycle drive by in the background.
Oh.
When the morning cries, you don't know why it's hard to bear. With no one beside you, you're going nowhere.
That's how noisy my house is. Yep.
Gotta move.
Yep. That's my house.
Can we hear some of Andre's vocal track?
Yeah. See if you can spot the difference.
Okay. Is there mouth noise and breathing in this one too?
No. He cut his out.
You know, bathroom?
Gotta stack those vocals for VG.
When the morning cries, if you don't know what it's up to bear.
Jesus.
Do you have a vice grip someplace? Cold vice grips? Down I go, I just can't
take it all alone. That sounded a little rock singer right there.
Jesus.
Like you started to leave Bee Gees and OGs a little bit for a second.
This is what makes the bit work. Because if not, it's just a train wreck for 3 minutes.
Right.
Wow. That just sounds... like, not natural to come out of a human.
Seriously. Tragedy. When the feeling's gone and you can't go on, it's tragedy.
When the morning cries and you don't know what you start to bear. Oh, damn.
When the feeling's gone and you can't go on, it's tragedy.
And now back to reality.
When the morning cries and you don't know what it's hard to bear.
I step on his neck and something like that, too.
Well, Andre, thanks again for putting that together.
Yes, we're sorry.
Yeah, no. Listen, I was pushing for this song. I knew this would be. Well, I text Chaz. I go, this is a masterpiece.
He pushed for this.
Yeah, he did.
I thought it was just out of the range.
That's right. It's all Andre's fault.
It's his fault.
Everybody was correct. It is out of the range.
It is, yes.
Andre, is the band playing out anytime soon?
No. Oh, actually, I am playing in the area December 22nd at Keepers Gentlemen's Club.
Oh.
It's the Streets Christmas Party. Come on out. It's going to be fun.
Very good. All right. Thanks again. We'll see you at the Toy Drive on the 8th. This crane operator is being called a hero after saving a man who was stuck on top of a burning skyscraper in England.
Well, some video, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, you see that building is engulfed. There are flames shooting off that roof. You'll see this lone silhouette of a guy standing on the roof, and he's like trying to avoid the flames.
Oh,
and
man.
Everybody's yelling and screaming.
It almost looks like a little video game, like Frogger?
More like Burner. But yeah, and you see this crane, this box with a crane. The crane's like got a box, and it's like maneuvering it to get it onto the building so the guy could get in. And the guy's trying to get in. And the guy can't get in at first. And the guy's remaneuvering it, trying to keep it out of the flames.
Oh,
this guy's trying to get the damn box open to get in. And everybody's yelling, get in, get in.
All right, here's some audio from that video.
He's obviously trying to get it open.
Oh, my God. In a second, there won't be nothing to open.
He's trying to get in. He's getting in.
He's in! He's in!
It's very dramatic.
Yeah, very exciting. That guy did a great job.
Let's say he did a great job. Not a hero, though, right?
I think in a case you say someone's life, definitely a hero. Because that guy would have burned for certain.
I'm going to say he was, because we think that's what anybody would do. But I don't think so anymore.
Yeah.
Like I think if you're doing everything you can to save somebody's life,
everybody just films now.
That's a hero.
Yeah.
In that moment, you are.
Yeah, I'm going to be the bad person. Why do I do this? I already know this is a dumb thing. This is a dumb road for me to go down, but I'm going to go down it.
All right.
Okay, the guy's operating a crane. Did he put himself in any risk by just putting a bucket over to save a human life? No.
No.
No, he's a hero if he ran up there.
Right.
And risked his life
right.
to get this guy out that he never even met. Like, I don't know this guy, but I risked my life. I just like moving the crane,
well, yeah, like lift
rotating
it up.
The crane, and then lowering a box down onto the.
The fact that he did it.
That's great.
Makes
that's
him a hero.
Good work.
But he could have just filmed like everybody else.
I'll bet you. Well, that would be hysterical
right.
if the crane guy was like, man, if only someone had a crane around here.
I got a closer shot thanks to this crane. Yeah.
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 I think if you talked to the crane operator, he would say, I'm not a hero. I'm just happy that I was there with a crane.
Most heroes would say that they're not a hero.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I mean, to me, if you actually did something where you saved someone's life, especially from flames on top of a skyscraper, you're definitely a hero.
This guy had no other way out, and this guy gave him a way out. That's a hero.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I guess our expectations are low now. Can you just rotate this crane over to the building and lower a bucket?
Well,
yeah, okay.
He did it on his own accord, though. No one told him to do it. He chose to do it.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Right, there's no training for this. Like, this is just in the moment. Like,
right. His boss could have yelled and said, hey, what are you doing? I'm working over here.
I want to get yelled at for a second. Hello.
It takes some special kind of concentration to land something exactly where you need
it. I didn't say it didn't. Okay?
I'm just saying, all I'm saying is... who gave him the idea. Either he came up with it himself or he had a pick with the man box and he thought of it. Hey, maybe I could get it up there. You know, just
that's a hero. That's a hero.
Is a hero for
okay.
him to put himself out there.
All right.
Let's try to.
Hey man, I'm a caveman. All right, you're right. Just doing simple things now. What's that?
What if you did? What, nowadays, think about it. What if it didn't work? Then his family would sue him and say, "Oh, you did everything. We're going to sue you because you couldn't save him." I mean, you got that chance of it too.
I guess.
Right,
he put himself in jeopardy of a lawsuit.
Right, financial jeopardy.
Imagine.
All right. I knew I was wrong when I started saying this, but I just keep going. I keep going.
No, I'm knocking down the detour sign and driving on the road anyway.
I keep going.
Right.
You might not be wrong because, you know, but think about it. Like, he had to have the quick thinking. I don't know if anybody gave him the idea.
Okay, then let's call him a quick thinker. All right, is every quick thinker a hero?
It depends.
I just think the word should mean something. We apply it to every damn thing. He's not a hero.
Right.
He happened to be a crane operator who was there. A quick-thinking crane operator. That's how the story should
be written. If you save someone's life, you're a hero. If you come up with a song that like helps people, no, you're not a hero.
If you save someone's life from the flames. If there was a chance that the burning building would collapse onto the crane, but he stayed there, yes, he's a hero.
Well, he had to be pretty close, I would imagine, right? Because to get the thing up there, I have no idea.
All right, I want to hear how I'm wrong.
Okay.
Some more. Michael?
Definitely a hero. Because at the end of the day, this person got to go home to their family. How many stories have you heard about little kids that learned at school how to call 911, and then one day, you know, their family, their mom, their dad, there's having an emergency, and then that kid calls 911. They save their life. They're not in danger, but they're still a hero, aren't they?
They're a hero? No. No, they're not. Those kids?
Yeah.
They're not heroes.
Right.
No, and we've had this discussion
they're,
too.
They're observant. Just kidding.
So, oh my God! This is
that the people that are responsible for them making the difference. Like regardless of whether you're in danger.
So you call 911 and you're a hero.
someone's got a little Grinch spirit in their stock. I guess.
Yeah, but you're right. Everyone's a hero.
No.
Everyone's a hero.
When you're calling, you're not a hero. You're just doing the right thing. But when you're lifting a bucket, a box on top of a roof that's got flames burning, and you keep maneuvering it to try and get it so the guy can get in.
Okay, we're going to have a ceremony, and we're going to have someone who like stormed the beach in World War II, who had their entire lives in front of them.
Right. That's definitely
a hero. They stormed the beach.
That's definitely a hero.
They're going to be standing next to a 12-year-old who called 911.
No, that's not a hero. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, that's do good. That's a do the right thing person. Yes.
Oh, I shouldn't have went down this road. Look at the phones. I'm such an idiot. You would think after many years of doing this, I would learn to shut my friggin' mouth.
Yeah, but maneuvering a box all the way up to the top of a skyscraper when there's flames.
He does that every day.
No, he doesn't. He moves things.
Oh, not with the fire, but he does the box every day.
Right. Well, you know, I don't know. He saves him his life. The guy would have been burned or jumped. If he didn't help him out.
Okay.
I'm wrong.
I know. I can see the phone line. Let's see.
I'm going with that.
Tommy.
I totally agree with you, man.
Thank you.
Crane operator, he's trained to land stuff on the roofs. He's trained to do this, you know, in emergency situations to help people out. You know, he's not a hero. The heroes are the volunteers, like you said, the Army, the veterans, the firemen that volunteer.
Yeah, but aren't firemen, those guys, also trained to do that?
If you tell
me... Hang on, Applejacks, we are trained to do that, but your mind is telling you to run away from fire. We run into it.
Right.
Yes.
This guy...
And thank you for that.
But yes, thank you very much for that.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, this guy here did something to save someone from burning to death. I think it's a hero.
Yeah, but
he rotated a crane and lowered the box.
His mind was not telling him not to do it.
Can a machine operator please call and just say if they were running a... Who wouldn't do that?
I'd be surprised.
Exactly.
I'm all those people who filmed.
Okay, so if he walked out of the crane, if he walked out of the crane and left the person there, would that be normal? What's the baseline?
It's like you're a hero. You're a hero. It's like you're a winner.
Oh, that's right. Everyone gets
a winner.
No, everyone gets this hero.
I agree. We dole that word out way too many times.
The word hero when everyone's a hero.
Why is it so loud in here? Apparently, hero means deaf.
You know, I knew 10 minutes ago that I was going to screw myself bad.
I agree with you, man. 100% behind you.
All right, thank you.
Oh, my God. You're a hero. You're a hero. Thanks for showing up, Johnny. You get a trophy.
No. That's not hero.
You don't even have to show up for school now, and you get passed to the next grade.
Like on Twitch says, it's going to be one of those days with Chaz.
I love Twitch. Those people are great. They're all heroes. They sit by the keyboard and type in all day.
Deli meets between hoagie buns, the true heroes.
They're great.
Let's go get some meat.
So we have Shannon Fiedler, comedian, TikToker,
right?
Social media star.
Yes.
Like a zillion followers. her family's originally from Monroe. She lives in New York City now.
Right.
And you're performing at New York Comedy Club in Stamford tomorrow.
That's right. With a handful of other Shannon Fiedler and her funny friends.
Nice. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it'll be a good show.
You travel in a pack.
Yeah, exactly.
And funny friends is good. That's a good name for them because you could, if they annoy you, you could replace one.
Right.
Completely interchangeable.
Yeah. That wasn't funny. Get out of here.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah. The funny part's more important than the friend part. Let's be honest.
100%.
Yeah, when we're performing, funny.
Yeah, be funny.
Friends secondary.
You're funny, gone, you're out of here.
Yeah. And then Samantha Cole, recording artist, model, and voice coach. Yes. Who did this song? You could not hear this song on the radio when this was a hit. How did, so first you were signed as a recording artist when you were 19?
Yes, I was first signed to Universal. I was the first artist signed to Universal Records.
How were you discovered at 19?
Exciting. So I was singing, I was in college and I was singing out at a place called Tattoo in the city where they did like live kind of full band nights. So you could kind of go and jump up, practice and with the band. And I was sort of discovered there. And then that guy got me writing with like the EMI writers and said, you know, he was from London.
So you're a writer and a performer.
Right. So I was like songwriting with like the EMI writers. And then I met Doug Morris through, I don't know if you remember the Hit Factory, which is where everybody kind
infamous.
Of recorded. So Troy Germano was the son of Eddie, and he's like, oh, come up and see the studio. And like I met him with my publisher, and then next thing you know, I'm playing a demo, and the next thing you know, they're like, well, we want to give this to Doug. And then I'm like signed 3 weeks later. It was the weirdest experience ever, but I was the first one, and they
you're
didn't even have an
New
office.
York City, that's and cool. then you're yeah. in a recording studio.
Yeah.
Within a very like, famous one in like 3 weeks.
Yeah. Wow. And then it was like December. I remember I signed the papers and it was just sort of, it was within 3 weeks it was done. And then they were in Hit Factory and then they didn't even have an office yet for Universal.
Right.
There was no staff.
Wow. Yeah. They were just starting. So they were signing anyone with talent that they could find.
Yeah.
Right. Fire!
Yeah.
How did the Shaggy thing happen?
So Shaggy and I met on the radio tour when I first did, I think it was Rhode Island. I did my first show, and I was with him at this radio station. And we met backstage, and then we became friends. And then over
so you were, like, opening for him?
I guess so, in a way. It was, like, a couple of artists on each station. They'd have you there. And it was my very first one, I remember. And we were writing, and then he said, oh, you know, I need someone to sing this pop hook, and I was in the studio with him. And I go, what about me? I sing pop. He goes, oh, that's right. He's like, I got to do Love Me again. And they want to redo it. So I was like,
so the
oh, cool.
original voice on that was Janet Jackson.
Right, Janet for the movie, for the soundtrack of How Stella Got a Groove.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then so that record label wouldn't let him put the Janet version on his album.
Right. There was like some limitations to how much promo they could do. So they wanted to redo it. And apparently it was never released as a single in like Europe and Canada. So it ended up becoming a single, which I didn't know at the time. But he's like, hey, we're going to shoot a video in Canada. Let's go. And I was like, really? So it was like top five. I was excited.
Cool.
Because I just expected it to be on the album.
Yeah.
As an album cut. But yeah, Hot Shot album was my biggest selling album.
Oh, my God. You couldn't get away from that song.
It wasn't me and all that.
Now that we tried to. We're just saying.
Right.
Yeah. But did they just take the Janet Jackson vocal off, or did he re-record the whole song?
He actually re-recorded it. He left some like samples on there, but we actually re-recorded it. It literally took us 10 minutes.
Wow.
It was like in this apartment living room studio, and I sang the hook, and it was like, okay, we're done.
10
like,
good minutes, though.
Yeah. Really?
It was
in an apartment?
In an apartment.
Recording studio?
No. Right in the middle of the living room.
That's hilarious. And you leave just thinking like, it's going to be cool.
Ooh, and time for lunch.
Wow.
It was so quick. Yeah.
That is
crazy.
Wild.
That is amazing. Can I hear it again? Because I want it now. I'm going to picture it was in a living room. It took a couple minutes. Does he talk like that? Can you pass me the coke, please?
Nope, he doesn't talk like that at all.
Can I have such disillusionment.
Records in the living room now. still money in the pocket meter.
I love a Big Mac and a coke with the French fries.
I'll let you in the house know.
He's a really difficult person to duplicate.
Well, yes, he is.
Yeah, got to be a good impressionist.
Right.
Yes.
Can you do that song at our toy drive? That would be really cool.
Yeah, I think we can do that.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I think we could do it. Let's do it with, what do you think?
You know, Randy from the zoo.
Right.
Yeah.
He plays at Woodbury Brewing. They played in Danbury, I think, Saturday night.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And he's great.
He does a good Shaggy.
He does a good Shaggy.
Right.
It's hard to find.
I do the other Shaggy with Scooby-Doo.
I was going to say, with Shaggy.
Yeah, that's, I better check because we might get
unintentional hilarity.
I just realized he's coming from back there.
Sorry. Hello. Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
We meant to warn
you. Where's that voice coming from?
Over here.
What voice?
It's awesome.
That is hysterical. All right, so we'll do that at the toy drive? All right, great.
That'll be fun, and he does it. So I originally heard them singing Angel, and I go, wait a minute, somebody's singing Shaggy? Like, it's rare.
Yeah.
Or the cover, I would ask, like, even reggae bands, like, oh, we don't know that one. I'm like, huh? Like, okay.
Reggae bands don't know Shaggy.
I know, that's what I said.
Oh, my God.
You're not reggae.
Like, what do you mean?
I don't think you could be reggae if you don't know Shaggy.
Yeah, I was like, you can't make that happen? That's an easy one for you guys.
Right.
Yeah,
wow, they didn't want to try, that's why.
Yeah, so I'll sing it. That'll be fun.
Ah, you're the best.
Excellent.
And you have a Christmas song.
I do.
Right?
Our sister station's
going to be playing if they're not playing already.
Great. Yeah, no, it's called It's Christmas Time. And actually, my daughter's here with me because she wrote it with me. It was because of her.
That's amazing.
That it actually exists.
What's your name?
Bella.
Say it loud.
Bella.
There you go.
Bella.
You don't have to be shy here. You're with friends.
Yeah, really.
She was like 7, I think, when she sang it in my little phone, and she was just singing, "It's Christmas time, and I want the presents, and I'm so excited."
Look at her; she's getting all shy.
I know. Right. I mean, I'm gonna keep that voice memo forever.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, she's like, "Turn it off!" But because
of
that,
where they were famous.
Yeah, it was like really, really just not. We were driving, and I said, "Oh, that's a song," and then I sang the hook, and I made up a different line at the time, but I just stuck it in my phone just to have it, and it was. You know,
does she get royalties
now?
I'm
so happy it's Christmas time.
Yeah, she's really.
Just and then it goes, would you say, I want the presents to be mine, oh, mine, oh, yeah.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, so that's a song. And then I changed the lyrics, but then she helped us write the bridge and everything. It was really great. Well, I also have a voice coach, by the way. I don't know if you knew that I teach. And I've been training lots of great singers and mentoring them and stuff.
Nice.
So I've been doing that for 10 years in Connecticut.
Oh, we're going to play you some clips of some vocal tracks of these guys trying to do Bee Gees.
Oh, no. You may quit.
Do they need voice lessons?
No, they need voices.
You tell me.
It might be beyond.
They need voices.
Yeah, it's called Celebrity Voice Coach. That my company actually is called that.
Oh, cool.
Just in case you didn't know.
Right.
Living this calendar, you can't go on, it's tragedy.
Oh,
with the morning crowding, you don't know why it's hard to bear.
Wow.
With no one to love you, you're going nowhere.
That's Ruth.
Oh, my goodness.
Ruth, yeah, I didn't want to mention
that.
So they're going
to
be performing. They're called the OGs.
Yes.
They're going to be performing.
Yeah,
here it is.
Oh, that's at that toy drive.
Yeah.
Guys,
see, this is.
Is that,
tell, she's made to be a voice coach because
right.
she's hearing this,
right.
and she says, "Oh boy!"
Right.
So polite.
Yeah, right. That's about as positive as you can get.
Right.
Well,
oh boy!
Is that the mixed track or the not mixed version?
It's mixed, all right.
That's as mixed as it gets.
Okay,
yes, well, mixed nuts.
Mm. Well, hopefully, I can't wait to see that.
Yes.
Oh yeah,
just like I gotta leave before then.
So what's this Mick Jagger story? How did you meet Mick Jagger?
Yeah, so the funny thing is, I was at this bar called Spy Bar in New York. I don't know if you remember it back in the day. It was pretty famous.
Heard
Spy
of
Bar,
it, yeah.
Downtown. So I was down there, and you have to go up to the stairs to go to the bathroom, and it's just a cute little story, just randomness, but I was probably 20, 21, maybe I should say. I was 21.
So recently signed. You were signed when
yes.
you were 19.
Definitely 19. 21 in the bar.
Right.
You got it?
I was about 20 or 21.
Right. Not 19 or 18. No.
Definitely
21.
Not.
So I was walking up the stairs to go to the bathroom, and this tall guy comes and steps in front of me as I get to the top of the steps, and the bathroom's like right there, and I'm up, and he stands in front of me, and he goes, "Hi." I go, "Hi." And he goes, "My friend wants to meet you." I go, And I'm going, I gotta pee, right?
Right.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Maybe afterwards.
Who's your friend? And he stands to the side, and I look down, and it's Mick Jagger.
Okay, so he's short,
very
right?
Very short, yeah.
So it's just a little guy, yeah. And I'm in my heels, and I'm like,
how tall would you say
nice
Mick Jagger
to meet
is?
You? And I'm shocked because I'm like, Mick Jagger wants to meet me, and like, I didn't get it
right.
Because he was hitting on me. And I'm like, oh, that's great. Nice to meet you. I got to go to the bathroom.
Right.
So I run to the bathroom, and I was just like taken back. I'm like, what do I do with that? Because like, I'm 20, he's probably 60.
Right.
I don't even know, I'm guessing.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Classic
right.
Hollywood
right.
agent.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Mm. But I was completely like, oh, his friend wants to meet me, like this random guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Mick
it's
Jagger.
It's Mick Jagger.
And Mick has to have to go to the bathroom walk on stage.
Yeah.
He
just,
does.
It's not that exciting, but it was just very like, you don't expect someone to step aside and it's Mick Jagger.
Right.
That's right.
Randomness.
Well, it's like meeting George Washington.
Right.
You see his face.
Same graduate class.
And then there he is.
Oh, it's my like, God.
Oh, my God.
You're
the guy on the money.
You're you.
So I guess I was supposed to, like, be excited and that I was getting hit
right,
by Mick Jagger.
Gush.
Oh, absolutely.
And, like, starstruck, right?
Oh, that's... That'd be on my resume.
I'm famous for being nice.
You have a fun fact for the rest of your life.
That's a random fact.
As opposed to screaming, run to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Right.
Fun fact, Mick Jagger would not let me pee.
Right. Yeah, I was like, I got to go that bad. I'll talk to you later.
Right.
But then I met Prince there, too.
At the same club. Hold your Prince story, because I got to go. And boy, this went by fast. We got to have you back.
Oh,
I know our sister station is going to be playing your Christmas song.
Thank you.
We're going to see you at the toy drive.
Yes, the toy drive.
We're going to twist Randy's arm from the zoo.
Right.
I'm sure he'll love it.
Yes.
We talked to him. He'll have fun.
And then we might have some other ideas for you at the toy drive as well.
All right, I'm open.
Yeah.
Vocal coachability, maybe? Maybe.
like the Bee Gees?
Singing at 7 a.m. is my specialty.
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves singing at 7 a.m.
Exactly. Nope. Okay.
Samantha Cole, we're linked up to your stuff on the radio station website. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Bella, nice meeting you. Great job writing that song. You wrote a hit song. Hey, this is very exciting. It's the first time in history this local team has gone this far in the Nationals. On the phone right now, Tom Fatone. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. How are you? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Well,
congratulations.
Thank you. Yay.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Amity Pop Warner, 9U team, heading to the
Correct.
Nationals.
Look at you.
Correct.
Go team go.
Yay.
Go team go. Yeah, we also have, it's a big, if you know, the Amity community consists of the towns of Orange, Bethany, and Woodbridge, who have kids from these three towns who contribute to one team. As long as they also, we have a cheer team going. We have four teams going, including the football team. Three cheer teams are going as well. We have a regional undefeated cheer team, two league cheer teams going, the junior peewees, the peewees, the mighty mites. And then for the football team, which is 6-2, they won a few playoff games. And then they defeated Stratford last weekend up in Worcester, Massachusetts. So they will be going to Orlando, Florida, representing all of New England.
Nice.
Wow. 9U.
Orlando.
You know, the competitor in me says, wow, this is awesome. The parent in me says, sounds expensive.
Oh, yeah. So that's why, you know, we're reaching out to the community. We have a couple of GoFundMe pages, both for the Amity cheerleading and the Amity 9U. And let me just say, the parents, big part of this, driving the kids to practice 2-3 times a week. Bethany Airport at 6-7 p.m. at night in the cold. And these kids have just gelled. And it's amazing. It's really been quite a ride, and each and every player has played an integral part in contributing to this ride that they've taken the parents along.
Cool.
Boy, you sound like the same parent that we want more of at these games.
Yes.
Hmm. That's nice.
I do use a megaphone occasionally, and I have done a couple of play-by-play for certain home games.
Nice.
Oh, well, all right. Good. I thought when you said megaphone, I thought you're yelling at the...
Right. What are you doing?
Yeah, the umps.
Pop Warner, make sure you don't get too involved, and they have certain rules and restrictions, so everything's sort of kept on the down low. You
nice.
Know?
What do you think, you know, I don't know if this is a good question, but what do you think your chances are of making it through the next game?
It's hard to say. We really don't know. So the next game is going to be Saturday. We're playing at 10:30 a.m. against Palm Beach Garden of Florida. So it's almost like the NCAA tournament. There are 8 teams left in the country for 9U, which is ages kids 7 and up to 8 and 9. So there's 8 kids left. We're guaranteed 2 games. Even if we lose on Saturday, we are guaranteed another game on Tuesday. And then what would be the Super Bowl down at the Citrus Bowl would be on Friday. That would be the actual Super Bowl, the game itself, the final. I feel our chances are pretty good. We're a very, very well-coached team. For example, in our regional final up in Worcester, Mass., the other team who we defeated had 8 penalties. We only had 1, and that's been the key. And every now and then a certain player steps up, gets a sack, somebody gets an interception, somebody runs. It's almost like the 86 Giants with a lot of role players, excluding Phil Sims and Lawrence Taylor.
Gotcha.
Wow. You're into this.
Very descriptive. Yes.
Who's your Travis Kelce?
Yes.
I am into it.
I hear you.
Yeah. What do you think of Taylor Swift and all the attention she gets at the games now?
I ignore that stuff.
Thank you. So do I.
That's right.
So do I.
Spoken like a true football
I ignore
fan.
That.
Yep.
All right. This sounds really expensive. So we're going to link up on the radio station website and our socials to, if you want to help them.
Yeah.
Man, that sounds expensive.
Exactly. So
it's almost like you don't want to go all the way.
They can all
you're there until Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's a lot of hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we can all use help. Again, for the fundraiser, for the GoFundMe page, Amity 9U, Pop Warner, and then Amity Cheerleading. We would really, really appreciate it. The kids would appreciate it. It's going to be an expensive trip. And this was thrown at us last second, so to say, because the season's supposed to end in October, and here we are right in the middle of the holiday season.
Oh, wow. See? That's how good you are.
Yeah. What do you mean it's supposed to end?
Well, since Amity's never gone this far, the regular season ended in October.
Oh, you guys are like Houston losing.
Right.
You're like, we're normally done by now.
What do we do?
I guess. What do we do? Yeah, this is new territory. This is all new territory for all parties involved.
Wow.
Now, Tom, is cheerleading really a sport?
Oh, boy.
These girls are competitive. They're out there practicing their butts along with the boys. And, yes, it is. This is big. 4 teams coming from Amity, all going to Florida. I don't think this has ever happened in the Amity school district Pop Warner era.
This is exciting.
Yeah, it's exceptional.
This is
Very nice.
So congratulations to you, the kids, the parents, and everyone involved. And let's help them out.
Yeah, donate.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, we're going to have you back on when you have the trophy.
Right.
You're going to come back in here with the trophy.
Look forward to it.
All right, thank you. Bill Engvall, good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's great to hear your voices again.
Now, which one's Chaz and which one's AJ?
I'm going to go off to the grid. I'm going to say Chaz is a lady.
Yes.
Right. Well, aren't we all at times?
You're right.
Aren't we all at times?
You know, well, Shania Twain said it best. Sometimes I feel like a woman,
Right. So are you really packing it in?
Yeah, I probably should have clarified. I'm just packing it in from the road. If television and movies or whatever come around, I'd love to do them. But I had gotten to the point that I had done everything I wanted to do and wanted to go out on my terms.
Nice.
Interesting.
Yeah.
End of an era.
It's gotten, as I was joking with a friend of mine, when I first started, when I was a young comedian, I had a well of material and I had that pointy shovel and I was just slinging bits everywhere. And after 42 years, I kind of got that square shovel and I'm scraping the bathroom. if I really did it right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, and like I said, I've always wanted to do that and go out on my terms. And I had done everything, I don't know. I can't think what I would have done else, and especially on the road work. I didn't want to do it just for a check. That was never my intention at all. And I didn't want to become that guy. When you go see a comedian, they're just, everything's bad and you're grouchy. Carlin kind of got that way towards the end.
Yeah. Past the prime, yeah.
But I didn't want to be that. I didn't want to have people remember that of what I was.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's got to be hard to make that decision.
Oh, it was, it was funny. After I did this last show, Here's Your Sign, It's Finally Time, it wasn't until about a week afterwards I found myself going, what do I do now?
Oh.
you know, other than Bill Engvall on ice, and I don't think anybody wants to see that.
Actually,
I would buy a ticket.
I would.
Yeah.
Easily.
Can you skate?
you know why I love you guys? Because you're brutally honest. The only reason you would buy a ticket is to look like going to a NASCAR race. You're just waiting for the crash.
That's right. 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 But we'll cheer, which is good.
Yeah, we're not looking for you to do triple action. We're looking for the attempt.
Not get severely hurt. You know, be just kind of funny.
No, but that has to be tough because, you know, just that connection that you have with the audience and the live audience.
Oh,
and being
yeah,
in that
yeah.
Setting where yeah. things could go horribly wrong. And then you're killing.
I miss the audience the most. I mean, that there was some magical times that where the show's just, it's like just cruising and the audiences are great. And I'm going to miss that rush because I don't know what else can give you that rush. And I think musicians, anybody in entertainment that will tell you, that, especially live entertainment, will tell you that there's those moments that you just, in your head, you're going, this is the way, this is exactly how I wanted it to go. And I'll miss the fans because I had a really nice, and I still have a great rapport with my fans. I stay, you know, try to keep up on what's going on. But I will miss that. That, as I told one guy, the thing I'll miss the most, and any entertainer knows this noise, it's the kind of the murmuring of the crowd right before they introduce you.
That's the best.
That's a rush that not many people get.
Oh, really? How does that give you a rush?
Just because you know what you it just sounds mean, but you know what you're going to do to them. You know, I'm going to take them on a journey, and we're going to laugh. And my goal was always to be, at the end of the show, have some guy go, that's it, I'm out, good, we're done.
Wow.
Because he laughed so much.
Yeah, because you knew you were going to, like, these people don't realize they're about to be murdered.
Exactly, I'm kill. I'm
like, they're just talking small talk and now, I'm here to murder them.
Mean way.
In a good way.
Yeah, my goal is to make you hurt by the end of the show.
Yep. In a good way, yeah.
Yeah, in a good way.
Yes.
Yeah, in a good way.
Well, you know what is interesting? Bill Engvall's on his special, My Last Show. Here's Your Sign. It's Finally Time. My Last Show is coming out December 5th. The thing, maybe you don't do tours anymore and you don't build, you know, new routines and then go out on a long tour, but you could always do one-offs, you know?
Oh, listen, if somebody come up with stupid money, they're probably going to get a Bill Engvall show.
All right. Very good. All right. So, we feel better about
right.
this.
Stupid
money,
answer.
Definitely, yes.
All right.
Okay, so have some stupid money, people.
When you were doing that blue-collar comedy special, like that, you guys were the hottest comedians on the planet. What was that like? That was just like lightning in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. That's a great way of analyzing it. It was like lightning in a bottle. I mean, it was crazy. It was like, I remember one night we had all come from different locations. So we still had our own private tours doing. And so all of us had chartered a plane, which would rarely happen. And for whatever reason, the promoter of that show decided he'd get 4 limousines, you know, which was kind of silly because we all ride in the same car.
Yeah.
But the rule was, after the last joke, the bags were already in the cars and we're heading to the airport because we had to get out. So everybody piled into a limousine, each Ron in one, Larry in one, Jeff in one, and me in one. And we were somewhere in the Midwest. It wasn't a big airport. It was like a regional airport. And each limousine peeled off to a private jet. And I looked at Foxworthy there and I said, this is as close to rock and roll as we're ever going to get.
Right.
Yeah.
Rock stars.
It was just crazy. And I never say never, but I'd be really surprised if you see another tour like that. It was just, there was blue collar dolls, for God's sake. I mean,
wow. Well, you think about any great team, like Dynasty,
yeah.
And they had like 3 or 4 people that just one of them on a team would elevate the whole team.
Right.
But to have like the 4 greatest blue-collar style comedians
yeah.
together
Mount
in
Rushmore.
One. Yeah, yeah, it's the Mount Rushmore. It's really,
yeah,
that was really something.
The pinnacle.
Yeah, it was a tour that none of us will ever forget. And the thing I think that made it great, and I took this with me to my private shows, is that, you know, and I tell all young comedians when they ask young comedians, it's no matter, I don't care if it's 5 people or it's 5,000 people. You got to give them the same show.
Mm.
Yep.
And that was the thing with Blue Collar was that made it so successful was you had four guys who were at the top of their game, and you had to bring your A game every night because the other three would bury you. We were like brothers. We were just waiting to see where that weak moment was. So everybody always brought their A material, and it just was magic.
I'll listen to concerts from like Zeppelin or Sinatra or whatever and say, I wonder if the audience knew how lucky they were at that time.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think everyone knew how lucky they were at that time because there was no questioning, you know, like, oh, this is a band and you could go see them all the time. It was a very rare occurrence and a very special occurrence.
Yep.
Yeah, the promoters did a great job of putting just enough shows out there that it kept the interest in. And we just ran with it. You know, it was like, I see guys, this guy, Nate Bargatze, who actually opened for me at one point. And now he's selling out arenas. And I always tell him, I go, enjoy every minute of this ride because it's going to go away at some point.
Yeah.
Mm. It's good to know that.
Yeah.
So you appreciate the ride.
Exactly.
December 5th, release of Here's Your Sign. It's the finally time, my last special. Bill Engvall, thanks for coming on, man. Thanks for all the laughs, and I hope someone puts a ridiculous amount of money together quickly.
Yeah, we need stupid money
stupid
here.
Money.
Stupid money.
Well, so guys, and I just want to say thank you for all the years you all supported what I do, and there's no way I could ever repay you, but I just know that I appreciate it deep down in my heart.
Well, I'll be supporting you December 5th when I go to Amazon and
me too.
Buy your special.
Me too.
God bless you all.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.